And now we're going to look at the gospel. And this is the gospel, every feast of all the saints. Who are all the saints? They're all those who stayed faithful to the Lord and to the divine life in them. And now we celebrate who they are. And so the text begins, you know, seeing the crowds, he, that's Jesus, went up the mountain and seated, and as he was seated, his disciples came to him. And then, opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, and then you begin this Makarios, Makarii. And this is the paradox. I want to read some words. I wonder where I just put them. They're from Henri de Lubac, about a paradox. But they're so beautiful. It's a paradox, you see. What's asserted as true seems to be false. And that's why it's laughable. Blessed are the poor, for they shall be satisfied. That's nuts. You want to be satisfied? You want to be comfortable? Make or steal or somehow get a lot of money, and then you'll be okay. And so that's this text that we're looking at. I really can't see where I put it now. But anyway, I see it now. This is sort of, I'm quoting from an article that I wrote, but in there there are quotes from de Lubac. The Beatitudes mark the frontier between history and eschatology. In other words, the saints are all already living an eschatological life, even with the fragility and darkness of this life. Huh? They accent the biblical vision of peripatia, or reversal. The poor are rich, and the rich are poor. And that's the great reversal. You see, these Beatitudes are Jesus' description and promise of that reversal between what seems to be and what really is and will be. And thus, what seems to be good in our blunted vision of reality and what is good now, already, and will be eternally. And then I'm going to quote from Veritatis Splendor by John Paul II. Indeed, each of the Beatitudes promises, from a particular viewpoint, that very good which opens man up to eternal life, and indeed is eternal life. That's Veritatis Splendor number 16. You see, it's the paradox. And de Lubac again, paradox is the reversal of what properly perceived would be synthesis. Paradox is the search or the wait for synthesis. Blessed are the poor. Well, I mean, you know, they're not. They're hungry, they're cold, they're not esteemed. But the text says, you see, that theirs is the kingdom of heaven. At least that's the way Matthew puts it. Luke has blessed the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Now, and that's true. If someone embraces this mystery, this paradox, and lives poor, poor in money because you give a lot away, poor in esteem because you're not trying to be a big shot, you are wealthy. And that's why the Lord says, you see, blessed the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And Luke has, blessed the poor, period, for yours is the kingdom of God. That's the paradox. Who is a king? The poor man. Well, who's the poor man? He's the one who rejoices in his experience of dependence upon God. For some, this is just thrust on them. But if they yield to it as God's will, they are so rich and we are still so poor. Theirs is the kingdom. See? And of course, as you know, in Luke, it's directed as blessed. Blessed you poor. For yours is the kingdom of God. You already live there. This is trying to help us as we honor the saints to live like them. We don't need a lot of stuff to be safe and secure. We don't. I mean, if you only have one sweater, I'd keep it in the cold weather. But you know, tons of clothes, tons of food, tons. We don't need it. I remember when we took a vow of poverty, and one of the fellows was explaining, his mother was Irish, and he was explaining to her, you know, what kind of vows did you take now? Well, poverty. She said, poverty? Sure, and you need a vow for that. I mean, she's working hard for a living to get her family. You don't need a vow to be poor. But you need a vow to stay poor and to depend on God and not just feather your own nest. It's really important when really poor people really need money. You give it to them. I won't have this. No, you won't have that. But in a couple of years, you'll be dead. And when the Lord comes to judge you, all those people who told Jesus, don't forget he did this, don't forget he did that, go easy on him. You'll have lots of friends. But that starts in this life. Yours is the kingdom. And that's the very first beatitude, see? So it means, and so when he says poor in spirit, he doesn't mean I could be rich and enjoy all this stuff, but in my heart I'm really poor. And if your heart you're really poor, you'll know what to do with your wealth, whether it be that you make 10,000 a year or 10 million a year. Put it unto the Lord. I can remember there's a line in Luke, and so no one can be my disciple unless he renounces everything he has. And I'm driving up, I think I've told you this story before, I'm driving up to the church where I preach, or used to preach on Sundays. And I said, driving up, I just praying. I said, Lord, I can't skip this line. You said it, and it's in the gospel for today. But what does it mean? All of these people, no one can be made to supper unless he renounces everything he has. These are, you know, middle class, upper middle class people. They got children, they got, you know, how can I? But I can't skip it. It's your word, and it's here for Sunday. And so I'm still driving along, and the Lord started to say in the calmest voice, like, you know, how many times do I have to explain these things to you? Look, I know they have to feed their children. I know they have to take care of their family. What am I saying? I'm saying, let me have that wealth, and I'll tell you what to do with it. That's all. Let me have it. You want to go on vacation to Tahiti? You know, but you could go on vacation to St. Petersburg, and you'd have a couple thousand bucks to give away. That's what it means. You don't need the best of everything, but you hand it over to me and trust me. And there was such tenderness and patience in the way the Lord was telling it. That's all I'm saying. Let me be Lord of what you've got, and I'll teach you. But I don't want you to starve either. I can take care of your wealth and teach you how to use it. But you don't hang on to it, because if you hang on to it, it'll kill you. It'll kill you. And you won't be happy. You'll always be worrying about your money. Now for Luke, blessed the poor, bang, because yours is the kingdom of God. Now blessed the mourners is Matthew. Blessed those weeping now, for you will laugh. Blessed those mourning, for they shall be consoled. Now what does that mean, to mourn? To be sad over the darkness. The grace of intercession is born from the beatitude of mourning. I don't want people to be sunk in sin, risking their eternal salvation. I don't want hatred. I don't want, you see, so I pray, I mourn, you see, over my state and everybody else's state. And the Lord says, the kingdom is yours. It's yours now. And forever, because you share my sadness over the way people, you see, try to escape the experience of dependence. As I said, I think already, maybe I didn't, with the poor. A poor man is one who rejoices in the experience of dependence on God. He does not want to be so insulated from that he lives out of reality. So the mourning, as I say, mourning is sadness. Oh, Lord, you know, just look at the television, the news, and you mourn. The corruption, the lies, the fear, the hatred, the fixation on money. And these are human beings, children of God, and they don't even know Him. And they keep trying to pretend that it's going to be all right. Well, you keep telling yourself that when you know darn well it's not true. What do you start doing? You start drinking. You start having a lot of sex to forget it. But it doesn't go away. God is too kind. And so that's, you see, so blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the land. Huh? That's beautiful, isn't it? Blessed are those hungering and thirsting for righteousness. And then Luke just has, blessed are they who hunger. If you're poor and hungry, the first righteousness you want is to be able to feed your family. That's the first righteousness that you want. But it's not enough, you see, to hunger to be righteous. Means you want God to take over your life and bless you with His own righteousness. And the merciful, that's only good business. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Merciful and you'll get mercy. And then the oddball one, starting with this one. Blessed are you when they revile you. Blessed are you when men hate you and exclude you and revile you and so forth. Why? Because you're such a threat to them. You remind them of God, and they don't want to be reminded of God. So they're going to either laugh at you or, you know, isolate you or maybe just plain kill you. But don't worry. You see, you are the ones. Be glad because your reward is great in heaven. For thus is the way they persecuted the prophets before them. Anybody in whom the Lord God is alive is a threat. And that threat is augmented in the person by Satan so that they can't stand. I mean, do you imagine the ugly rumors that floated around about Mother Teresa? Who would dream of saying those things? People who were angry because she reminded them of the Beatitudes and they didn't want to be reminded. Listen, as we celebrate this great feast, beg all the saints, beg all your friends, all the ones you talk to a lot in heaven, to help you learn the Beatitudes. Amen.